This episode is sponsored by Eternal Ink and Tattoo Smart. Hi, I'm Andrew Storitz, and we're back with another episode of Books Closed. And I hope you had an enjoyable holiday and a nice new year, as I did. And I had a few weeks off from the show, but now I'm back. And we've got the whole second half of season three coming at you, starting right now. This week, you're going to hear a conversation that I had with tattooer Nick Colella, who owns and works at Great Lakes Tattoo in Chicago. I think this interview is a great example of me getting to meet someone in real life for the first time and having our very first conversation on film. And you can kind of hear our comfort level developing as the hour progresses. And by the end of it, we're probably making more jokes than sense. I filmed this at the end of the summer, I think. And it was right as I was really formulating a lot of the topics and ideas that I was having for this entire season. So you'll hear me rehashing some stuff with Nick that I've talked about on previous episodes of the season, and possibly some teasers for topics and ideas that are still upcoming at the end of season three. So I hope you dig it. I liked this one. This was a fun one. I really enjoyed talking to Nick, so I hope you enjoy listening to it just as much. So I'm joined now by Nick Colella from Great Lakes Tattoo. What's up with Chicago tattooing in general? You've been in Chicago for a long time.
Yeah, I was born and raised there. I've been tattooing for 25 years. So always in Chicago. I was 19 years at Chicago Tattoo. And then Great Lakes has been open for six. So I've seen some things. It's weird to say that, like, you know, you're tattooing people and they haven't been alive as long as you've been tattooing. Just kind of, it's weird. So, but yeah, it's changed a lot. When I first started, maybe, I think there were six or seven shops in the whole city, and now there's over 180, and 25 years is a lot.
Yeah.
So things have definitely changed. The city's changed a ton, but tattooing has changed as well.
Do you notice that change as it's happening, or is it so gradual that now you're looking back and you just think, shit, this is different than it used to be?
I think there was a definite change because tattooing was 21 to get tattooed up until 2005. Mm. And when it turned to 18, they also laxed on the zoning requirements for tattooing. So shops just start opening like crazy. So 2005 is really like the turning point, you know,
right?
Things just kind of blew up.
Did you notice a difference in your business, or is it just... Because I always wonder in cities, it seems different than my experience in like smaller towns or smaller cities. But I always wonder, what is the competition like in a city like Chicago?
Chicago used to be crazy competitive.
Yeah.
Because there was only seven shops and we all hated each other. Like that was it. It was like everyone, I mean, a couple shops got along and a couple shops didn't give a shit. And then everyone else was just, they hated each other. Like the shop that I came in from was Great Lake or was Chicago Tattoo. So Dale Grande, who's the owner, he had been tattooing since 71. It's the oldest shop in the city. So everyone came from him. And so there was kind of like, I don't go to any other shops. I don't do really conventions or anything like that for a good portion of the time I was there. So Yeah, Chicago's real weird. It's like, it's a gangbang city. It's divided, like north side, south side, west side. And it's strange to think that, I don't know about gang culture, but gang culture really permeates everything there. It's pretty strange. Well, it did anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. I see your posts about like gun violence statistics and stuff.
Yeah.
There.
Good times.
It's crazy.
It's nuts. It's such a... I've
never been there. Does it feel crazy when you're in
town? No, it's definitely a tale of two cities. It's so, I love that place so much. Like I grew up there. My whole family's from there. I have such love for it. And then it is so divided and so segregated and so racist and such a bummer. Like, and it's weird. Like you would never, know that if you got off the airplane and came to my house and came to the shop, you would never be like, oh, there's kids getting murdered like crazy 7 miles away.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just doesn't. It's a very divided place, which is very unfortunate.
Yeah. At the shop, you guys, it seems like you've always taken a stance on no racism, no homophobia, all this stuff that, you know, to me seems like a no-brainer, but you kind of have to put that out there.
Yeah.
Now, do you think that's a byproduct of Chicago, or is that more just like a overall cultural awareness? That's
I think it's an overall cultural awareness. Like, I was involved in scenes early on that we're super anti-racist and all that type of thing, and it was just something that's common to me and normal to me.
Yeah.
But with strange administrations that are going on and things, people feeling as marginalized as they are, I wanted to put it out there so that people knew, like, it's we don't give a shit what you are, who you are, what you believe in, what you don't believe in. I don't care. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just it's a tattoo shop.
So as far as inside the tattoo industry, who do you think the most marginalized group of people are?
Black people. Like, look at Instagram.
Yeah.
There's no black skin being photographed.
Right.
I mean,
but you got to be looking for it.
Yeah, you have to look for it. Yeah, that's it.
It's like with anything, the way that certain styles are more striking, it's the same thing where maybe with, I don't know, I mean, on a darker skin complexion, there's just less contrast.
Absolutely.
So people don't want to put it out or put it up, or it's like not as, I don't know.
Well, I mean,
it's a weird thing.
We've always been told, like, your tattoos need to be bright and blah, blah, blah. And on darker skin, they're just not. It just doesn't work that way. You know, color takes in the color of your skin and shows after that. So it's, you know, on someone who's lily white, tattoo super bright.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully. Yeah. Right.
Go to Sweden for all those tattoos.
Yeah, totally.
So one thing that we had talked about, I think you had sent me a message after one episode I did, kind of talking about, I think I was grappling with like the sense of tattooing's ethics, like the unwritten rules, but then also applying it to the real world. And I think that I've always felt that there were some things that were just given or expected to be understood that I never really understood why. And I never questioned it.
Right. We're talking about like the quote unquote harsh apprenticeship and that type of thing. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And I'm seeing now how it's all connected to maybe the reason why certain people are marginalized from entering tattooing or have a harder time finding people who will teach them or, you know, all these things.
Sure.
And it's something that I never considered because I'm not affected by those things.
Right.
So I'm just living in my dream world bubble.
Sure.
And I think I've learned a lot from the show to see that tattooing is bigger than like the little traditional tat bro bubble that I've existed in.
Yeah. I mean, even this weekend, I've been talking to people and just like trying to really like, oh yeah, it's not what we all have in our mind that it should be or is or was or is going to be. It's so ever evolving. And to someone like me, I had a real hard time with that. I mean, so many people, I think, in tattooing have this amazing idea of what tattooing was in their minds. Like, you know, and I don't think it serves their purpose for what they're doing now. You know, like all these old guys talking about it was so rough and we were fighting and there's hammers and beating people with bats and blah, blah, blah. And sure, that might have gone on. Like at one time, it was a rough business. But I think so much of it is self-preservation of scaring the new people into thinking it's something that you don't want to get involved in. And that it just, for the most part, is preserving your business. The less people who are tattooing, better off for you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of the horror stories are exaggerated. A lot of the apprenticeship stuff. I mean, if someone wanted me to, like, I never had that when I was when I started tattooing. Like, Dale and the guys who were at the shop at the time were not assholes. They were just not, they just weren't that way.
Yeah.
And I thought that was going to be the way, just from things I'd read. I mean, I was a kid at the time, but like things I'd read, like, of all this, like, oh, this guy would make me wash his cars and go pick up his kids and do all this and that. Like, well, I don't know. Maybe it was just me, but like, I wasn't anybody's personal assistant. Like, I was there to learn how to tattoo. Mm-hmm. And I showed them that's what I was capable of doing by doing things that needed to be done around the shop, but not like, I wasn't some kind of indentured servant. Like, it just wasn't that way. And the more I thought about it, like, I wouldn't have put up with that. Just as a person, my own person, like, I got to treat me like a jag off just because you think you can. Like, it's not, that makes no sense to me. And the two guys that I've taught to tattoo, like, I was never that, never that way either. It just didn't make any sense. Like, why would you just wreck someone? Like, of course, it's like, well, let's see if they'll stick around. You should be able to figure that out pretty quick if they're going to stick around or not, or why would you have them around anyway?
Right. Yeah, it's kind of like the lazy way.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if it's lazy. I don't get it. I never understood it. And I think looking at all those, like, I collect a lot of old stuff. I see a lot of old photos and stuff like that. Like, maybe I'm just completely out of my mind. And as I've gotten older, I'm like, oh no, it was cool. Like, I don't think that kind of stuff happened. You know, maybe it did. I could be completely wrong, but I don't think it did.
You just dropped a bomb.
Oh, yeah. Hey. Nick at GreatLakesTattoo.com. You can email me anytime. Tell me your horror stories. I'd love to hear them.
Yeah, and certainly there are horror stories. But
absolutely there are. I don't think they were this, like, this torture that would go on.
The shit that people think they're supposed to live up to now.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that I've never heard someone say that. Like, someone with a respectable knowledge of history and tattooing. I've never heard anyone come out and say that. So, like, why?
What I just said?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Right.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. But, yeah. Like, I've just never heard someone with that stance talk about this stuff. And that's why it's so interesting to me that there's just certain untouchable topics, and there's certain things that I know that I myself have just, like, blindly subscribed to and, like, well, that's how it is. But it's like, that's not how it was for me.
Yeah. I mean, and I get, like, the whole, like, oh, I want to learn how to tattoo. Like, nah, I'm okay with it. I don't want you to, like, no. And then see if they come back or they start getting tattooed and all those other things. I completely subscribe to all of those things.
Sure.
The once you let someone in and want to teach them how to tattoo, why would you be such a jag off to them?
Right.
I don't understand. I just don't, I can't fathom that.
It should be someone you deeply respect and you want them to find success.
And yes. And you know, it's that whole, like, and I've heard a lot of horror stories, and the ones that I've heard are real. Like, they're people who I know and are real and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I don't understand treating people like that in general.
Yeah. Well, I think we all growing up had, like, that teacher who's notoriously mean and salty and shitty. And some people, that's just how they are.
No, I completely agree.
But I don't think that's the best way to teach someone anything either.
No.
Like, through fear, or if someone messes up something, then you got to come down on them hard, but you don't have to scream at them. You don't have to, like, shake them up
You have to come down on them, but you also have to give them the tools to succeed at their job.
Yeah.
Which is what you want to do, is you want them to succeed. You want them to be a reflection of you. I mean, really, that's what you're...
Totally.
That's why you're showing someone something. You want them to take what you know and what you can give them and run with it. You know what I mean? So if they screw up, yeah, okay. Let's figure out why you screwed up. And then let me give you the tools you need to be more successful at what you're doing. I just think that's a more, I don't know if it's logical or, I don't know what that is. It just seems to me more logical way to do things.
Yeah.
It's less stress on you. It's less stress on them. They could perform better. You could sleep at night, you mm-hmm. know.
Yeah, totally. And at the same time, I think there's a misunderstanding from people who are interested in learning to tattoo that what they're asking for isn't just another job. You're not just allowing them to work with you. Like, they're asking for you to give them all of this knowledge and stuff that you've worked on and scoured the world in some cases for. And that's a lot of trust, and that you're not just going to give that. Like, you're not, nobody's entitled to that.
No, that's, I mean, that's a whole other side to it. It's like the person like, well, I want you to teach me how to tattoo. Well, I don't want to teach you how to tattoo.
Yeah.
It's,
I don't know you.
Like, I don't
at
have
all.
To do anything for you.
Yeah.
If it comes down to that, where we have this arrangement and agreement, cool. I will show you how to tattoo. And you know, you'll learn however long it takes, but I'm not going to like have you doing push-ups and have you washing cars, and because that's ridiculous. I just don't see the benefit in that.
Yeah.
It's not like you don't have like a wild animal that you have to train. It's a human.
Right.
You know, if they don't have a work ethic, they shouldn't be there to begin with.
Right.
You know, you have to see those things before you get to the, I'm going to train you how to be a tattooer.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. If they're so out of control where the only way to teach them a lesson is through like humiliating them by doing
ridiculous.
Something, then it's probably not going to work anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, you treat a man like a man, you treat a woman like a woman. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. You treat people like people.
Yeah. Treat people like people. It's a weird concept, but, and I'm sure, and there's tons of people who had, I mean, I think coming up when we came up, tattoo shops were real different. Tattooers before us were real different. And tattooing as a whole was a different animal. But I think as it evolves, there's no reason to keep doing that over and over again.
Right. Yeah, I think the fact that there's just no clear path into tattooing for people who are interested, it makes it this weird thing where people are having a hard time like grappling with the fact that I can't find an apprenticeship.
Right.
It's like, but there's no, like, you don't just go sign up for it.
But that's what I like about it.
Yeah.
There is no apprenticeship. Like, my father's an electrician. There's electrical apprenticeship. There's a plumber's apprenticeship, carpenter's apprenticeship. There is no tattooing apprenticeship, because people who would actually do the apprenticeship, like electrician apprenticeship or plumber apprenticeship, would be like, that's not an apprenticeship. Because there's things that need to be learned at a certain time and all this other stuff. I think it's more of a mentorship than anything.
Yeah.
But it's not a structured, like anything on the books anyway,
right,
as a structured apprenticeship.
Do you think that there could ever be a structured form of teaching tattooing that could work?
No.
Like a tattoo school?
No. I knew you were going to get into that.
Even with the right, if the right person was in charge of it, could it be possible? Not do you want to see it, but could it be done?
To take, like, whatever guy who walks off the street to teach them how to tattoo, I think you could probably physically teach anyone how to tattoo. Could they be a tattooer? That's a whole different ballgame. And I don't even know if that even is a thing anymore, like being a tattooer, because it doesn't – it's a weird evolution of this business that I'm struggling with. Like,
in what ways?
I guess, like, with technology and with attitude and with equipment and all of these things that are going on and happening pretty quick, like, I feel like I am becoming a dinosaur, that I don't really feel that way. I think that way. Like, I'm like, man, I don't get it. Like, I don't get the style of tattoos or the type of tattoos or how they're done. But I don't want to be left in the dust either. You know, I think I have some relevance.
Well, I don't want to bring you here to toot your horn, but I think that you actually are pretty with it. Like, you stay true to the things that you like and the things that you've learned and like cultivated as your skills and your tastes. But I think that someone like you, in my eyes, you've always, like, you've adapted. Like, you're with it. And I don't mean you're doing color portraits, but I just mean like with your attitude, which is 90% of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty much how I've grown up and how I just want to live. But in tattooing, like, I have my niche of tattooing, but there's a whole, like, it used to be, and like the glory days. Like, I want to talk about the glory days because it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, seven shops. You knew everybody who was tattooing in the city, in a shop anyway. Now, I don't. Like, I don't know anybody with, you know, other than my immediate, you know, people came, either came up then or what, but this city's full, or Chicago's full of tattooers that I have no idea who they are. And I don't know if that's good or bad or otherwise. It just seems like it's expanding so much. And I don't know if I should be on board with that or I don't know. It's a pretty confusing time.
Yeah. But does it even matter? Like, have you been able to build the world around you for your everyday working where you're still comfortable and happy in your work environment?
100%.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah, no, I'm totally comfortable. The shop is great and all these other things. I don't know. It just seems like there's a whole nother world of tattooing that's going on that I have no idea about.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of the realization that I've been wrapping my mind around as well.
And it's weird. I was having a conversation yesterday about it. Like, it's going to keep happening whether we like it or not.
A big thank you to Eternal Ink for sponsoring this episode. With 280 colors counting, it's estimated that our eyes can recognize approximately 10 million variations in color. Picking and mixing a color takes experience. In the tattoo studio, time is not a luxury most artists can lose, so color selection and mixing must be precise and the process must be performed quickly. The solution many tattoo artists have embraced is maintaining a wide and diverse selection of pre-mixed tattoo hues. Eternal Ink has created and released 280 hues and types of tattoo ink. Although 280 colors are a lot of choices for a tattoo artist, there still remains a great deal of color in the world to be duplicated. Eternal Ink has been in the tattoo business for a long time. Producing tattoo ink is an occupation that they enjoy, and they believe that they do it exceptionally well. And I would agree. The ink mixing room at Eternal Ink works very hard every day to create the best tattoo ink possible. And while they understand that they'll never reach 10 million colors, they'll continue to earn the respect and loyalty of tattoo artists around the world. And if you have not tried Eternal Ink yet, or even if you have, they are offering at EternalTattooSupply.com right now a 20% discount off the full retail price on all Eternal Ink colors when you use the promo code BOOKSCLOSED at checkout. That offer includes both single bottles and full sets in all available sizes. And again, it's not 10 million options, but it's plenty of options to fit whatever you need. This deal excludes combination with other offers, and it's not to be used with the Color of the Week promotion. So again, I repeat, use promo code BOOKSCLOSED at checkout on EternalTattooSupply.com for a 20% discount off the full retail price on all Eternal Ink colors. A big thank you to Tattoo Smart for sponsoring this episode. Let's talk about their digital flash stamp sets. This is the modern version of Tattoo Flash. Tattoo Smart is in constant collaboration with tattooing's most iconic and popular artists to provide the finest examples of flash and design elements, spanning a diverse range of tattoo styles. Choose from the industry's very best to find the exact types of images that resonate with you and with your customers. You can efficiently mock up tattoo ideas and examples, and this is something that you can do in a consultation setting with your clients if you'd like. It really streamlines the process. You can use the images as you would traditional tattoo flash, or as a starting point for a more customized design. So what this all means, these are collections of images, flash images, and you can stamp them in. And the way that I like to use them is stamp it in, and it can help you rough out a layout. You can put another layer over it and then draw your version right on top of it, so you can still keep some of that form, or you get that starting point. It really streamlines the drawing process. I dig it. Tattoo Smart has a bunch of great flash stamp sets, like the Peonies and Maritime and Dharma sets. I think you should check them out. If you're feeling like you're mentally blocked with drawing, or that you just draw the same stuff all the time, or you want to try something new, these stamp sets might get the creative juices flowing. So head on over to TattooSmart.com and check them out. A special discount for all Books Closed listeners. If you use code BOOKSCLOSED, you get 15% off all of your Tattoo Smart products. Not just the digital stamp sets, but everything else on the site as well. So again, that's code BOOKSCLOSED at TattooSmart.com for a 15% discount off of your entire Tattoo Smart order. Think about the most, like the most different looking tattoos right now that are also like popular and trendy are like the very minimalistic, almost primitive, like what I would say is a badly done tattoo.
Yeah.
Badly designed, crude, very crude drawings. Sometimes they're tattooed clean and they're just like shitty drawings. And I say shitty in air quotes. Or sometimes they're just unskilled people that are scratching their whatever drawings on people.
Right.
But why do you think that that is so prevalent now?
Well, I think at one time tattooing was real weird.
Yeah.
And real strange and a little different. And now it's not. So you have people that are trying to go even farther with like all, like I've always said that like about the black workers who like are scrubbing black over people's faces.
Mm-hmm.
People are like, oh my God, that's disgusting. I'm like, ah, it's just, it catches my eye. Like, I'm like, whoa, that shit's crazy.
Yeah. It's intense. It's
yeah.
Different.
It's intense. And it's like, that's how it used to be when you had tattoos in your forearms or your neck tattooed or whatever.
Right.
And now it's, that's not it. So, and I think getting back to those primitive drawings, I think it's people are just like, I don't need the tattoo shop. I could do this at home, or I could do this wherever, yeah. Or I hand poke, or whatever. And it's all this, I guess it's all in the same bucket, you know? I don't know if the hand pokers are like, oh, those guys who do shishu tattoos are strokes. You know, I don't know if that's a thing, or they're just doing their thing and whatever, because it's a whole different generation of people.
What I've thought is that it might be a response to the fact that people can't get the opportunity to work in tattoo shops and to learn from people. So that's just what you're able to do. And then they're also attracted to that like different look or something that's like edgier.
I think that's possible, but I think, but they're taking that like unskilled look and making it a genre. But is it unskilled on, is it, does it turn like, is the unskilled look turn into their look and then that's all you need to know? You know what I mean? Even like I'm trying to learn more and more every day. Like I've had the iPad conversation and all these things with my wife recently, like maybe I'll do this iPad thing. And I texted the guys at the shop and they're just like, oh great. You've been ragging on iPads for months and now you're thinking about getting an iPad. But it's like, I don't know. Should I try and learn more or whatever else? Are those people trying to do the same? Or does it matter?
Yeah, it's hard to say.
Yeah.
It's hard to know. Yeah, I just feel like it's such a response to the closed nature of tattooing, at least what a lot of people might experience when trying to pursue it.
I mean, how could you show everyone who walked in how to tattoo?
You can, that's the thing.
Right.
Yeah. It's not that if someone asks me, I should say, you should never tattoo. You're not worthy of it. You don't love it like I do. Of course they don't.
No, you just can't get... I mean, yeah, it's funny that you say that. Like, my wife, who's definitely the brains of the operation, is like, I'd bitch about something. And she's like, you got to remember, no one... Like, in the way that she says, no one's going to love it like you do. No one thinks, you know, no one's going to take as much time as you do. Thinking like, I have a very skewed idea of right. What my time and everything is.
But I mean, quite literally, like someone just starting, there's no way that they understand enough about tattooing the way that we do after peeling the layers back and stuff.
Right.
So you can't hold, you know, you can't hold people that standard, but so I wouldn't want to teach someone, but I wouldn't say you'll never learn. You shouldn't even try. Like
I just can't learn here.
Yeah. Just, I'm not the guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's one way to do it. I mean, I just tell people no.
Yeah.
You know, the two guys who I've taught, they were around for a long time. And then it was just like, okay. Like, not that you broke me down or whatever, but it was just like, all right, let's do it. You know, and I see myself when I first started tattooing is like, I used to come to Chicago Tattoo and just hang out and hang out and hang out and hang out until like they needed me to do something. I was like, oh, it's just, it's a hangout type of thing, you know, it's like,
yeah.
Or whatever. And then I got close to those guys and whatever else. But yeah, I think a lot of people, you know, it's the first thing. It's like, nah, you tell them nah. And then you wait and see if they come back. And if that happens, you know, so many people are like, nah, I'm not going to teach you how to tattoo. And then they're like, all right, cool. I'll just learn myself. Like, oh, okay.
Right.
Good luck with that.
Like they almost want to be told no, just so they're validated and
sure
doing what they know they probably shouldn't do, but they're like, well, can't find a place, so now I'm going to do my own
but
thing.
But it isn't, I don't know if they even think they shouldn't do it anymore. It's so non-taboo.
That's true.
It's not a big deal.
Yeah, you buy hand, I mean, so many people are hand poking, like college kids, yes. They're just hand poking shit on each other and themselves all the time.
Right. It's very like, oh, whatever.
Yeah. Well, my friends look good. I don't know what happened with this one.
Totally. I saw my friend, he got a tattoo, it was great. And then this guy, I don't know what happened. All right.
Yeah, it is weird. Even in the past 10 years, I remember when I was first starting and people were getting stuff on their forearms. And I would remember, because I was only 21, 22 when I was starting.
Sure.
And I didn't have, maybe I had some stuff on my forearms at that point. But I was myself very cautious about where I was getting tattooed and trying to not like get too ahead of myself or like getting my neck tattooed or anything right away. And I remember really telling people, like, hey, you know, it's your forearm. Maybe you should put it on your upper arm or your back or your ankle or somewhere, you know, think about it.
Mm-hmm.
But now I never even crosses my mind. So when it's a forearm, I don't even think about it. It's just not a thing.
When we first started, we couldn't tattoo any necks, any hands. And the same thing, like below the elbow was like, are you sure?
Yeah.
You know what you're getting into. Mm-hmm. You're always going to be able to see it. You can't hide it. I remember even when I first got my hands tattooed, the owner of the shop being like, What are you going to do? Like, what if something happens? Because that was a big thing back then. Like, they're just going to get rid of tattooing. They're going to outlaw it. So you have to be able to get another gig if it happens. I'd be like, no, I've been in a tattoo shop for 10 years or 12 years before I got my hands done. And then another 5 before I got my neck done. And even then I felt like, man, did I blow it? Did it's like... Bum. I remember my sister got me a turtleneck for Christmas that year. I was like, oh, you're great. That's awesome. Like, whatever. But it was a different deal. Now kids are getting their forearms done or their necks done. And I mean, I tattooed a kid who got his first tattoo on his neck. Like, I'm like, are you sure you want to do it on the neck? Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm like, yeah? And he's like, absolutely. Sit down.
Yeah. And I think neck is still a little gnarly just because it's like when you look at someone's face, it's their neck. You know, you can see their tattoo. But I feel like most other spots, it actually probably won't hinder people's lives.
No.
Like, we're at that point where it's actually happening, where it's okay.
Yeah.
Navy kids come in, they can get their hands tattooed and their necks tattooed within certain parameters. It's pretty interesting how that stuff, you know, the ebb and flow of it changes.
Well, I mean, us being by the naval, well, not too, like an hour away from the naval base, they either come to Chicago or Milwaukee to get tattooed. And we went through, like, when I first started, like every 2 weeks, all the sailors would come down to where we were at and they'd get tattooed. And then for a long time, they couldn't get tattooed. And then it's back open. And then you can only do this. And then I need a picture of it because I have to show whoever to get approval. And now it's a free for all.
I have to be able to cover it with my hand was the thing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And so like you put the stencil on and they're in the mirror with their hand over the stencil.
Totally. You're
so many
like,
times.
Okay, man, whatever. No one cares. Yeah, yes.
And that's such a funny rule because what does that even mean? It's like so unscientific.
Right.
And it's like, what if you got big hands? You're fucking laughing.
Because it doesn't matter. Like really, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Like you should be, your value should be based on your performance, not on your appearance.
Yeah. Especially in the military where you're like giving it up for your job. Like that's such a higher level of commitment than most of us experience in our jobs.
Yes.
Where I think there should be a little leeway for people to live as they want.
Absolutely.
But I think that, I mean, this is just my speculation, but I think the sense is that they don't want these kids young in the Navy and then all of them just get covered in tattoos and then they're out of the Navy by the time they're 25. And then what? Then they're fucked.
Right.
Because they don't have other skills necessarily yet.
Yeah.
And so in one sense, I can see where I would think that the reason behind it isn't to just like make a rule and it's not necessarily based on like old thinking, but, you know, when you're young and impressionable and in like this tight knit crew, I could see how a lot of kids could fall into like a crew and they're all doing something.
Right.
And it's so normalized in that pocket of their life, but no one's in the military in that capacity forever.
Sure. Exactly. Exactly.
I don't know. Next up on military talk, we will cover gun cleaning.
Oh, you could talk to my guy next to me on that.
So yeah, let's talk about some of the cool stuff that you guys do at Great Lakes.
Okay.
Like the events.
That's a little bit more of my speed.
Yeah. Let's talk about that stuff. It's fun to speculate and think about the doom and the gloom, but I think the cool stuff that you're involved with is unique and worth hearing about. And maybe some people don't know what's going on and they'll go check it out.
Yeah.
So you guys didn't do the walk-up classic, right? That's what you call
yeah,
it?
Yeah, walk-up classic.
You didn't do the walk-up classic this past year, right?
Yes. But
in the past, you were doing...
Yeah, we did 3 years of it.
Yeah.
And then on the third year, in the middle of it, I got a call from the health department. Told me that like someone dropped a dime. That's what she said. So someone called on us that there were too many tattoos. In Chicago, in Illinois regulations, you have to have so many sinks per tattooer. And so the shop has 9 stations. We have 3 sinks upstairs. And then we actually have it's like a split level. So we have a gallery in the basement where we had to walk up. And then we didn't have enough sinks in the basement. Like I counted like the sinks, like I counted the bathroom sink and there's a kitchenette or kitchen back there. So we count the kitchen sink and I just kind of like, cool, we're good. And it's not the case.
Yeah.
So she said someone complained and then we needed sinks to put in and it was a whole big back and forth and we just didn't have time to do it. So we just shelved it. Yeah. Plus there's a lot of little shop conventions happening now. So, I want to bring it back, but I just have to square all that stuff away with the city.
Right. Did you notice that was a lot of your normal clientele that was showing up for that? Or did you see a lot of new faces that you hadn't seen?
Both.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm always curious, like who finds these events that tattoo shops put on?
Yeah, it's weird. Well, I mean, we had the idea for the walk up after doing the Montreal convention.
So if people don't know what it is, you had a bunch of guest artists come in and
yes.
It was just like,
there's 20, it's 20
sweatshop
of us.
Style,
pretty, yes,
just
totally.
Crazy, all hands on deck,
I mean,
just
that's
doing
it.
A shitload of tattoos.
Yeah, everyone paints a sheet of flash. We have a show on a Friday, like a gallery show. And so, yeah, Great Lakes is split level. So you walk up 4 stairs, there's a tattoo shop. There's 9 stations up there. You walk down 10 stairs and there's a gallery and all kinds of stuff down there. So the gallery has shows in like 3 or 4 times a year and total sweatshop. Like there's... The walk up is like tattooers everywhere. So we had this idea after the Montreal convention. We're all sitting at breakfast, like exhausted, and like, oh, we didn't get to see Steve Byrne this whole time and Robert Ryan, and like everyone's working, trying to hustle, make money. I was like, this is exhausting.
Yeah.
Like everyone's traveling to see each other, yet no one can see each other because everyone's trying to make up money to pay for their flight and their hotel and their expenses. And I was like, we should just start going to each other's shops and fuck the convention. And then I was like, well, we have enough room. Like, we should do one at the, like, whatever. I think Robert was doing stuff, did like a little convention at his place beforehand. He said, yeah, it was great, whatever. So we kind of just took that and blew it up a little bit more. And everybody painted a sheet. We had a dozen of our friends. And we're like, all right, we'll see what happens. And we had a little opening the day before and everyone comes out for free beer, all that stuff. And then, Saturday, we open early and close early. And then we make dinner reservations for all of us that night and for both nights. And my wife and Allison, our shop manager, like got lunch brought in and breakfast brought in and just like, it was just like a tattooer thing, and it was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And
which is such a welcome change from most, not all, but most conventions.
Like
that...
I like the little convention. Like this one's awesome. Angel Miller's is awesome.
Yeah.
I go to one in Germany. It's fantastic. Andreas has one. It's great.
Yeah.
So I get a call from one of the neighbors in the neighborhood of the shops, and is like, hey, what's going on at the shop at like 6 in the morning? I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, there's a bunch of people lined up. And I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, there's a dozen people lined up in front of the shop. And I was like, okay. So this is the first one.
Yeah.
So we like get our stuff and get down there like 9 o'clock, and there's 35 people lined up waiting for this. And we're like, holy shit. Like, people are into it. So like we opened up, and like the first year we just cranked. Like, and everything was like, it was all walk up. So you just got in line, picked whatever you wanted off the sheets that people painted, or you picked off the wall of the shop because they got a bunch of old flash and stuff that we painted. And that's it. There was no like tattoo deals or anything like that. It was just a walk up convention, low pressure for tattooers other than the sweatshop. But no one had to draw or prepare or do a bunch of stuff. And it went off awesome. And then we did it a couple more years. And you know, the second year, the same thing. They line up at 5. And then last year, a guy got there 1 a.m. and slept on the sidewalk. And I'm like, and he was a Navy kid who was a regular. Like, we got there. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, we slept overnight. I was like, for what? He's like, you want to be first in line. I was like, okay, but you're here all the time. You've been tattooed by all of us. He's like, yeah, man, we just want to support you. And it was crazy. Like, people in the neighborhood were waiting in line, and all, you know, all of these like regulars and a friend of ours were waiting in line. I'm like, what are you guys waiting in line for? You come in anytime you want. Like, this is awesome. It's great. And then it got shut down.
Sink gate.
Yeah, it's over.
I think when people say the magic of tattooing is gone, I think that is a testament that it can still exist, because you don't wait in line for just like a thing you buy.
Right.
Well, that's not true.
Yeah, it's actually completely wrong.
But in the same way, people who love sneakers, people who love technology, I think there's magic in that for them too. And it's a similar thing. Like, what would possess you to sleep on the fucking sidewalk to get a tattoo at a shopping event 2 million times?
The chef at the restaurant a half a block away, who I see every day, I was like, oh, what I got next? Oh, this B. I'm like, who's getting it? Kevin from the restaurant. I was like, are you shitting me? You could have came Tuesday at noon. Like, no big deal. He's like, no, man, it's great. This is awesome. Super exciting. I'm like, okay, great.
Yeah, they just want to support it.
Yeah, that's it. It's just one to support. Yeah.
Because no matter how many times these people get tattooed, they still see the value in this experience that's different.
It is. To me, I mean, Great Lakes in general is a pretty special place. Like, I get super heavy about it. Like, I go there early when it's quiet and just like, man, this is crazy. I thought I would work at Chicago Tattoo forever because I'm a company man. And then Dale would retire. I would just take it over. And then that's it. Mm-hmm. And then to build Great Lakes with everybody who we built it with. And it's a really cool place. It's a heavy place.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm there every day. And it's still heavy.
Every day?
Well, not every day, but yeah.
Most days.
You know.
So what was like the morale boost? Because a lot of you guys that were at the other shop moved over together to the new place, right?
Yeah.
So when you guys get your new digs, you build it up just like you want it.
Yes.
What is that like? Refreshing?
Terrifying. I mean, refreshing in a way that, oh, everything's new.
Yeah.
Terrifying in the way that, like, I struggled with leaving Chicago Tattoo for about four or five years. When I realized, like, I don't think it's going to go this way. You know what I mean? Dale, who's, he's an awesome dude, and he taught me a ton, and he gave me the freedom to do whatever I wanted at Chicago Tattoo. Like, I had a young family, and I just needed to do more, and I had an idea of what I want to do with the shop, and I couldn't do it there. So it was getting pretty rocky and stuff, because I want him to get rid of me instead of me being like, you know.
Yeah.
And so it was like a long divorce. And when I finally did it, I was like, okay. I don't know what the hell we're going to do. Like, we didn't have a shop at the time. We didn't have a space at the time. We were all just kind of, you know, my wife and I were like, okay, I guess we're going to do a shop now because we have no other option. And
yeah, so you weren't like scheming ahead of time and getting ready. Like, you were just.
Yeah. We had talked about it a bunch, you know, like, oh, shop, what neighborhood we go to and blah, blah. Then when I'm like, hey, and call my wife, I'm like, hey, I just quit. And she's like, oh, okay. I'm like, I think we'll be good. We're just going to do the plan that we don't have. It'll be awesome. Whatever. It's not. You're a gamer. It'll be great. So, like, when I quit, at the time, I had hired all those guys. So, there were, I don't know, 5 of us. And I'd hired them on, and we all worked together, and it was whatever. So, then when I left, I gave him, like, a month's notice. And then I called everybody to the house and I was like, I quit. And they're like, you did what? I was like, I quit. Like, I can't do it anymore. Like, I'm going to do my own thing, but I quit. And they're all like, well, we're going to quit too. And I was like, well, that's stupid. Like, I don't even know what we're doing yet or what I'm doing yet. Like, you guys all can't quit. Number one, you guys all can't be out of a job. That's stupid. Number two, you can't leave Dale high and dry with, like, everybody leaving. Like, I'm going to open up a shop. Everyone's more than welcome to come. But you can't just leave. That's shitty. So, like, I gave him a month. Mario gave him a month. And then everyone kind of staggered until, like, the last guy, Mike, who's, like, I've worked with Mike since 99, was, like, his last day was Friday, and then the shop opened up on Monday. Like, Mike was like, I'm not giving any time. Like, there's no way. Like, he just moved his shit from the shop, the old shop, to the new shop, and that was it. But it got to be pretty terrifying because it's like all of a sudden I'm like the shop manager, but not the owner. And now I'm the owner, and now I have way more responsibility. And it's still, you know, Dale used to tell me, like, oh, I stay up at night sometimes thinking about this place. I'm like, for what, man? This is great. We're killing it. It's busy and blah, blah, blah. Now there's some nights where it's a little bit harder to get to sleep because you're like, oh, I have 10 guys who were, you know, more than that, 14 people who rely on this shop. Everyone's buying houses and stuff like that. And it's like, as cool as it is, it's still terrifying. You know, it's terrifying. Like, what if it does stop? What if it does slow down, you know?
Yeah, that's the uncertainty of tattooing, I guess.
I think it's any business.
Yeah. Yeah, gotta be.
That's it. You know, you're just trying to think of ways and, you know, everybody could like, I'm true to it. I'm so true. Well, you're so true. That's great. But if there's no business, what are you true to?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're only as good as your clients allow you to be. That's it. You know? If there's no clients, then it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's always interesting because it doesn't seem like tattooing really slows down.
It doesn't. I mean, it, you know, there's certain times economy-wise where it'll slow down and people hold on to their money and stuff, but it hasn't seemed like it slowed down, you know?
Do you think you'd feel less pressure as a shop owner if you weren't close with your employees or the people that work at the shop?
Well, closer didn't give a shit.
Well, I mean, because these are people that you've worked with for a long time.
Yeah,
we're all tight. So you feel a tremendous responsibility to make it work.
Like, yes, absolutely. So probably not. If I wasn't close with them and they were just like another person to fill a spot, yeah.
Yeah. Not that you wouldn't care about them being successful, but I could see the pressure being more because you care for these people.
It is. I mean, like, Eric, I've known since I was 15. And Eric, I've known since I was 15. Me and Beatdown went to high school together. Me and Miles have known each other for 30 years. It's crazy. There's a lot of, you know, we've been to every wake and wedding and kid's birthday and childbirth. Like, we've always been there. So it's heavy. It's a heavy thing to think about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's also the greatest thing ever.
It's the fucking coolest. It's so rad. Yeah. It's so cool.
I feel like there's not a lot of crews in tattooing that have kept it together like that over a long period of time as far as working together.
Not, well.
It happens, but it's rare.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm very, very fortunate.
That there's some shops where when people are close, you can see their work all starting to not look exactly the same, but some shops have like a look. But I think everyone at your shop is very diverse.
Yeah, I didn't want the look.
Yeah. The look is cool, but having a diverse look is very cool too.
Yeah.
I think that caters to my taste more.
Yeah, I like the look of good tattoos. And I don't it doesn't matter what they are. If they're good tattoos, they're good tattoos. You don't have to come and be like, "Oh, that's some great legs." Like, it doesn't, you know, whatever. So yeah, I think and I got that from Dale, who was like, as long as you're doing good tattoos, it doesn't matter. Like, you want to do black and gray, you want to do portraits, it doesn't matter. Like, as long as they're good, it doesn't matter. And they gave everyone the freedom to do what they wanted to do.
These days, it almost pays to specialize for a lot of people. And sometimes I wonder, could I benefit from focusing more instead of trying to be good at everything?
It used to be like, oh, my tattooer can do anything. Like, you should go see him. They could do anything.
Yeah.
And now it's like, oh, my person does this. but he does it really well. And you should see him because of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's strange. Like, we were always taught, like, you had to do lettering, you had to do black and gray and color or whatever you had to do. And now it's definitely not like that. And I don't know if I could try to change gears.
Yeah, because I like the variety.
I like it. It's like fishing.
Yeah.
You don't know what's going to come in the door. Just kind of hang out until something. Sometimes you hook into a good one. Sometimes it's a stinker, but whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool to take it on, and I feel like you get a lot of different types of clients that way when you're willing to do different types of work.
Yeah.
And it's always interesting if someone, to me, if they're like, oh, I want a rose, I still have no idea what they want it to look like because it could be one of 10 different approaches.
Right. Yeah, you're like, do you see anything on the wall you like? Do you have anything in your phone that you like?
Yeah.
You,
like, I need to know because this could go totally wrong.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, you got to give me, it's a partnership here. Yeah. You got to give me some, you know, some hint of what you want.
Yeah. But then I also think if I really focused on something, think about how much progress I could make on that thing. And would that be more rewarding to me over, you know,
to develop this one. Yeah. Thing.
Like, would I feel more fulfilled by really diving into something specific?
I think you have to have so much of a passion for that one thing, though.
Yeah.
Which I don't. I just have a passion for tattooing. Like, I just like tattooing. People are like, you know, these little designs, because I stopped taking appointments for the most part, and just do walk-ins, and like, do you care about this? And I was like, I don't care about the tattoo. I care that you get a good tattoo. Like, what it is, it doesn't faze me. Right. I just like tattooing. I like being around tattooing. The tattoo shop, tattooers,
yeah,
all that stuff.
Yeah, if you don't like talking to people and going, then yeah, you're not going to be able to do it forever.
Yeah, like the headphone guys, that thing is, that's always strange to me because I like the dynamic with the person you're tattooing. I mean, if it's good, if it's bad, then it's brutal. But like I was taught to like, you don't want to just tattoo that person and then they're gone. You want to tattoo that person and then tell their brothers and sisters and neighbors and cousins and all that stuff. And after now 25 years, now you're tattooing their kids and all this crazy stuff that Dale told me would happen is happening.
Right.
Yeah. I don't like the one and done.
Yeah. It's tough. And like when you're dealing with collectors, it's like a whole different thing.
Yes.
Because they're almost always going to be one and done.
Yes.
Because they're on the quest for everybody.
Right.
Fucking losers. Not that I'm tattooing any of them usually.
That's how they walk right by me. I get shit.
They're like, hey, do you work with Mario?
Totally.
Which is too bad. You know, if people are passing up someone like you, it is too bad because they're going to get a great experience that someone who is into tattooing like these collectors are, they're going to love it.
I would hope
so.
But
I'm sure you're tattooing a lot of collectors. I mean, we're being funny.
Yeah. No, yeah, absolutely. But yeah, I like that. Where's Mario? I don't know. He's somewhere.
He's not fucking here. Yeah, you want a tattoo or not, buddy?
Two doors down, all right? Christ.
Yeah, I don't know. What else? What gets your... What really yanks your chain?
Jesus. We're going down that road.
No, we don't have to.
I'm trying to not let anything yank my chain. I'm trying to just be like, okay. I want to like take... I'm at a loss for what I want to say. Take all the prejudices I have of the other tattooing that's going on and just let it be.
That's
because it's a lot to hold on to.
Yeah.
It's a lot to hold on to. And I'm like champion for something that it's like, I also don't want everybody doing stuff that I do either.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's hard. It's hard to like, let that go. Mm-hmm. Like it's going to happen. Whether if I'm pissed off about it or not, the only thing that's going to make is me more pissed or me more aggravated.
And it's a great point. And that's something definitely, I'm glad you brought that up, that
I'm made for this.
You're great.
I'm totally made for
you're
this.
You're great. You should be in the captain's chair here and I should be in the guest chair.
No, I'm going to start doing pottery.
But it's, important because I've always thought like, okay, I want to guide my customers to the best tattoo. But truly, and even with my best of intentions, that's only going to guide them to what I think is the best tattoo.
Yeah.
And usually for me, that's like something that's good technically, something that I'm under the impression will age well, something I'm comfortable and confident to give them like as much of a guarantee as you can give them in tattooing. Yes. As far as what it's going to look at like.
Absolutely.
But what I think is a good tattoo, I've truly never considered it in the past that there are many other ways to do it.
Totally. And I really started telling people that, like, you can come and get, if I can't do the tattoo, I will get you to someone who can, whether it's in the shop or not.
Right. We're happier if they get what they want.
And that's weird to me. And it goes against everything. Like, it's always like, get them in and get them tattooed. But sometimes, like, we have a guy, Kevin, who does everything perfectly. Like, this, you want 20 bands down your arm, a quarter inch apart, like, no problem. You want portraits, no problem. All this other crap. I'm like, if I can't do that, which I can't, like, go see Kevin. If Kevin can't do it, we will send you somewhere. Like, what? Just get a good tattoo. And there's a lot of forms of that good tattoo now.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of options. The good tattoos were like the ones on the wall. Like when I first started, we tattooed, it was only off the wall. There was a bunch of Cliff sheets. There was a bunch of Dale sheets. And if you couldn't find it, probably didn't need it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now good tattoos come in all forms. There's tons of good tattoos in every style. Mm-hmm. It might not be my style. I might not like it. It doesn't make it a bad tattoo.
Right.
It really doesn't. And that's, it hurts me to say that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't.
And people know what they want because a lot of times customers can be very misinformed.
Yes.
They're also more educated in the sense that they're able to research and actually find what they like.
Yes.
Whereas in the past, when there wasn't as much information or the wealth of images of tattoos to endlessly search through,
right,
that you had to kind of get a number of tattoos sometimes, and sometimes ones you didn't really like in the long run.
Yeah, to realize, like,
to realize what you actually like.
Right. And there's only so much you could do. Like you said, you want someone to get a good tattoo, one that's going to last, one technically good, and you're trying to convey that to somebody. But sometimes they don't give a shit what you're saying because they want what they want. And okay, obviously you brought in the picture of someone doing it, you know?
And I feel like that's a change that's happening that I'm like finally seeing the change. Because in the past you could like talk someone into something that's going to work in your eyes. But when people know what they want, I imagine it's like selling cars now. You don't go to the car lot to learn about the cars usually.
No.
You fucking know exactly what you want because you've researched it. You watch videos of people driving them cinematically through the fucking mountains.
You know what they're paying.
Yeah.
You know what they cost.
Yeah, you know the price.
Yes.
You know what the price of the exact used car. You've seen photos inside of it.
Right.
All you got to do is sit in and drive it and decide if you want to deal with the cigarette smell in it or whatever
it
is.
Exactly.
It's got to be such a different job to sell cars now.
Yes.
The same way tattooing, it's like people know what they want. There's always case-by-case things and there's always a little leeway with people. But I feel like it's more rare to really talk someone in to something drastically different in the way that it used to be.
Right. I mean, it used
for the average tattooer.
Yeah. I mean, it used to be called the dummy rail. The dummies were on the other side of the rail. We were the expert. And like, we will tell you how it goes. We will tell you what works. And you still do that. But some people don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
And some people know you're bullshitting them. When you're like, no, it's not going to work just because you don't want to do that tiny lettering. You know, so the experts aren't on the other side anymore. I mean, we are, but it's, you know, there's this battle for who knows what. And you could tell people to go fuck off all the time. Beat it. Get out of here. You know what you're talking about. That does nothing.
No, it's just going to hurt you.
It's all it is. And I'm not saying you have to conform and have a hand poker in the corner or whatever, but people know. Like, the cat's out of the bag. It was way out of the bag before I started. Like, they're just running, you know. What are you going to do? You have to do what you have to do for yourself and your family and your shop and everything else. You know, if you want to be the old crazy dude who, like, oh, that guy's nuts. Go in there. He's going to yell at you, scream at you. Okay. Be that guy.
Yeah. Some people want that experience, but
yeah,
not the majority.
Yeah. I don't want to do that shit anymore.
Yeah.
Like, so I have people who answer the phones and meet people at the counter. Like, I don't want that shit. And you're not doing tattoos for $30 anymore either.
Right.
You know?
Well, what do you think about the places popping up that are like spas but tattoo shops, and they've really like tailored the tattoo experience to be like a boutique spa-like thing where you put on a robe and they give you a tea. And
they do that?
That's a thing.
Oh, really? I didn't know.
And I'm not saying that that's like becoming the norm, but like you're seeing stuff like that, which again is a response to problematic scenarios that people have identified.
Sure. I mean, I guess it's not my thing. It's not in my business model or anything like that. And it's not something that I would want to seek out for myself or be a part of. But I mean, really, what are you going to do?
Right. I'm endlessly intrigued by stuff like that.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird when you have to write a 3-page essay on why you want to get tattooed or all that other crap. Mm-hmm. I don't agree with it. But some people want that. Some people enjoy that kind of interaction with it. Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
And that's okay.
It's heavy. Yeah, it's totally fine. Yeah. Just you're not going to get that by us.
Yeah.
You could just get tattooed. I mean, at the end of the day, no one's curing cancer. We're all just putting tattoos on.
Right.
I don't care what you're doing, what you're wearing. No one's changing, you know, major medical, you know, it's just, like I said, no one's curing cancer.
Yeah.
You're just doing tattoos. However you want to dress the pig up, go ahead. You know?
Yeah.
That's your thing. That's your thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I used to fall into getting bent out of shape when I'd see what I thought was like a lame, trendy tattooer. And it'd be like, oh, what the fuck? They're so busy. They're so this. Why? You know? Comparing yourself to other people, yes. Which is never
not good,
never going to benefit you.
No,
but it comes from lacking confidence, I'm sure, and like not having your footing yet. And so, you know, in a younger or newer tattooer, I think we've all gone through that at different points.
Yes,
because you're never born into tattooing confident and like killing it.
No,
like it's so humbling to learn a tattoo because it is so difficult.
It is brutal.
It, like. Insane, insanely multiples of like difficulty higher than anything I've ever learned.
Yeah. And this, when you think you got a good swing on it, something knocks you down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is good. And that's what you need.
Sure.
But it's like heart wrenching.
Yeah. But I also think like, you know, there's so many tattooers and myself included who have this persona that they think they're tied to. And I think
like you need to be a certain thing.
Right. And I've felt victim to that too, or not even whatever. And I think it shows a lot of maturity to be able to be like, yeah, I thought that way or I was that way. And now I realize I don't have to be that way. Like
when you can learn, you can say no. And the reason can be, I can't do that.
Yeah, it's okay.
It's fine.
Yeah, totally.
You don't have to be like, well, you know, this type of needle I use, like, it's not the best. Like, you don't need to, like, no, drop like, the
I don't,
ruse.
I don't, you don't even have to say you can't. I just don't do it.
Yeah.
But even, like, my opinions on, like, those salon tattoos or hand pokes and all this other stuff, like, fuck that. That's not real tattooing. I don't know, man. It's real tattooing. It's tattooing. It might not be my real tattooing. Yeah. It's tattooing.
And people are drawn to it the same way we're drawn to the things that
we
are.
The same way. Yeah. The exact same way that we used to like look in Chicago Tattoo when we were kids and be like, yeah, man, that's crazy.
You can only talk about this stuff so long before you realize how fucking stupid it is.
Well.
To like get bent out of shape. Not, you know.
Yeah, to get bent out of shape. Yeah, I mean, it's going to happen. And I'm okay with... You know, everyone's like, oh, Nick's a Chicago guy, traditional tattoos, and he fucking hates everybody and blah, 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 and chest eagles this and blah, 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 that. Like, it's cool. Like, tattooing is fucking amazing. It's the coolest thing ever. It has saved my life. It's provided my family and me with everything. If people are going to do that with tattooing, great. You know, what else are you going to do? You do right by you, and whatever else they're going to do, they're going to do. You don't have to hate them or hold these grudges. You just, I don't like that stuff or whatever. Fine.
Yeah. It's just someone else doing something different than you.
Yeah.
And I find that I'm more fascinated by it now. The same way that when I see someone do like a magic trick, I want to know how it's done.
Like, I'd never want to know. I love the mystery.
Oh, I love to know.
I love the mystery.
Finding out how or why something is like my driving force, I think.
Yeah.
So in the same way where if I see someone who is endlessly popular and revered, and I think their work is very basic and not like, oh, it's basic, but like very basically drawn or...
White girl basic, yes. Yeah.
But now I want to say, like, what is it? What is it that draws so many people to that?
Yeah.
And is that something that I can, I'm not going to like do what they do, but is there an element to that that I can learn from? And there almost always will be something, even if it's just like an approach or a thought process or if it is actually some drawing thing or some technical thing. And you can learn so much from, because they're doing it. It doesn't matter if you like it or not. They're doing it, and they're doing it better than you somehow.
Yeah.
In some ways.
And even like the couple guys that I've taught and they've worked at other shops, I'm just like, you will learn stuff from everybody, even if they're shitty.
Totally.
Like, you will see things that they, oh, wow, that's pretty cool how they did that. And their tattoos might suck.
Yeah.
But like, they do that one thing. You're like, oh, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. And adapt that into what you're doing. I'm not saying, you know, put your little needle in your pocket and start hand poking, but there's things that you could grasp onto to help what you do be better.
Totally.
Like, I'm all old now. Slowed down.
Well, it's like the stereotype of traditional tattooers that you're going to, like you're saying, you're going to be salty and shitty and close-minded and like very staunch on your outlooks on stuff. And it's refreshing to see your attitude, but also the way that you do stay true visually to like the tattoos you do. And right. I think it's like a great dichotomy in traditional tattooing that I'm attracted to, because it's, I don't want to get tattooed by an asswipe just as much as anyone else.
Yeah.
But sometimes asswipes do the tattoos I like visually.
Right.
So like now I can feel myself in the shoes of people who are coming up with the idea to open up a spa tattoo shop. Because they want a good experience, and maybe what they demand from a tattoo is less than mine. So, or, you know, what I think it should be. So they can find that in a place where someone's going to work in a, you know, a salon tattoo shop.
Yeah, exactly.
And it fucking works.
Yeah.
And they're stoked.
Yeah. And I'm not saying like I'm constantly trying to audit myself and evaluate the things that I'm doing or like, you know, it's like, It's hard to like not, for so many years you're like angry and to not be super opinionated and all this other stuff. But you know, it's like you're trying. You're just, I don't know, that's their thing. What are you gonna do?
Right.
you're gonna throw bricks through salon tattoo shop windows. Like, what does that do? They're like, okay, let me call my insurance company. Like, whatever.
It's like, you're gonna break their hands.
Yeah, you're gonna firebomb the salon and, you know, whatever. Yeah, like it gets goofy.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, Sailor Jerry wouldn't open up a salon, and I want to be like Sailor Jerry because I whip shade everything.
All of that stuff. It's like, okay, I love telling stories. Guess what? Those guys did too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Since you dropped a bomb.
Oh, boy.
I would also like to drop a bomb of my own.
Ugh.
And I hope we can still be friends after this. Since this is the first real conversation we've ever had.
Totally. I was like, I hope that guy, I remember what that guy looks like. Let me get a little of YouTube videos.
So, another thing that I've been critical of in the past, I'm now very interested in. And let me tell you what that is. It's a tattoo machine.
Yeah.
Looks like a dildo.
Yes.
I'm interested in that.
Yeah. I know. I'm right there with you. I am right there with you.
They look sick.
They look disgusting. But.
But functionally.
Yeah. It's weird. I was. Can I say who I was talking to yesterday? We were having this almost exact conversation.
Sure.
I was talking with Dan Gilsdorf yesterday. And we're talking about.
I just met him today. I've loved
his
tattoos for a long time.
Yeah.
I didn't want to tell him that and sound like a dork.
I want Dan pretty much to live in my basement and be available for my questions.
Yeah.
Life advice, anything like that. But we're talking about this exact thing. We're talking about traveling and equipment and disposable tubes and all of these things. Like, our shop is totally disposable. Like, we don't have any metal tubes anymore. And people are like, oh my God, I can't believe you have to do with metal tubes. Like, I don't give a shit. Like, whatever. I don't have a dirty room. I have, you know, whatever.
You're like, whatever. I didn't have enough sinks.
Exactly. Totally. Yeah. You shut me down. Fuck you. But I thought it was pretty interesting. Dan travels with one rotary machine and cartridges. And I was like, get out of here. He's like, yeah. He's like, when I'm on the road, this is what I do. That's what it's easier to travel, it's lighter, all this other stuff. I do the tattoos that I do with them. I come home, I use what I want to use. And I was like, that's an awesome way to look. He's like, it's functional. It does what it's supposed to do.
Cartridges are so practical.
They're super practical. And like, I've used them, I've tried them at the shop, and I'm, you know, I know what I know. And like, we have a guy, Kevin, who's like uses rotaries all the time, and he asked me to try some cartridges, and like he's like, I'm thinking about getting one of those wands. And I was like, you should get it, man. I don't know, like, those things are crazy. They're doing tattoos that I would never take away all the, it's not gonna age and there's no black and all of these other things. Like, they're doing tattoos of them that are pretty insane.
Yeah,
it's nuts. I don't know.
But is that the machine? I never know.
I don't know either. I have no idea.
Yeah. But there's got to be something to it.
It seems like it allows more people to know less about machines to like snap in and there you go.
I guess so. They're dependable. You don't have to fine tune little things. It's not going to like you hit the foot switch and nothing happens and you got to figure out why. Oh, there's a hair on my contact point or something. Right.
Yeah. But yeah, it's interesting. I don't know, like the way I tattoo, I don't know if they'd be good for that or not.
I mean, from what I read, and again, I've never used cartridges ever, and I've never used anything other. I mean, I've used some rotaries and stuff, but never anything like truly deviating from like the normally accepted tattoo machine form. Yeah. So in my head, it's still just this fantasy that it's going to be this magical experience. And it might be, and it might not. I might not even like it.
Right.
But I want to try it and see what it's all about.
I mean, that's why I forced myself to use a rotary for like 6 months. Totally dug it. It was awesome. And then I just went back to coil. I was like, oh, I forgot how much I like coils. And then I'll go back and forth now. I don't see why not. I mean, the technology is pretty awesome. For what it is.
Yeah, we've got tons of ingenuity and money and development into this stuff for,
right.
You know, for the first time.
Yeah, but it's not tattoo rolling, so fuck them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, what are you going to do? Right. Yeah, so why not at least try them? Why not? What if they jam? What if you can't use coil machines anymore? And that's all you have is the dick machine.
Yeah.
Figure out how to use it. Mm-hmm. I mean, at least try it.
Yeah.
See how it goes. I mean, I ordered all the cartridge stuff and snapped them in, and I was like, here we go. I was like, oh, man. You know, went through a box of them just making sure I tried it. It was okay. By the end of it, I'm like, this is all right.
Yeah.
It's like...
Because think about all the times where you're like, oh, I could do this a little quicker or better or easier. If I just set up this needle for a thing, but you're like, nah, I'll just try to edge it in with this other thing.
That's exactly it. Like, oh, I have 7 machines set up. I never... have some machines because
right,
but like, yeah, like, oh, if I had a 3 to like,
yeah,
oh, that'd be great.
Well, I'll just fucking use the mag on its side
on an angle,
and like try
right.
to
exactly, yeah. Yeah, and you're just like bing bing, just snap it in, and here we go,
yeah.
And it's just like Dan's like, I bring one machine,
yeah, and you're not taking any shortcuts,
no,
and you're not bringing an extra suitcase because you need 8 boxes of tubes. Because again, when I always feel like I don't know what people are going to ask me for,
yeah.
So I need everything. Right. 3s, 5s, 7s, 9s, 11s, right. Like 3
you
different size
much,
mags.
You do much nicer tattoos than I do. I mean, I have 7s and 9s, 7 megs and 9 megs, that's it. So it's like,
but just like I'm happy to do whatever, but
right.
I need to bring a lot more tubes. So to me, the idea of having like a little box of tons of cartridges sounds sick.
Yeah. You've never tried them?
Never.
You should try them.
But I think the more that I'm getting asked to do more like bigger and more elaborate black and gray tattoos, which I'm actually really enjoying, I'm like, well, that's what all the people that do the best stuff of that is. So there's got to be something to it, whether even if it's just hand fatigue, or because I'm feeling it more now because it's just more demanding to be like constantly shading like all day.
Right.
So,
I mean, there's got to be, they can't have that kind of industry without it working.
Yeah.
Let's buy them.
Okay.
I'll send you one.
I am. I am. Oh, I don't want to say what company it is because I don't know who's going to sponsor this episode. It's probably some machine builder who's fucking pulling their hair out right now.
Oh, God. I see the look of disappointment when I was using a rotary. I was like, all right, relax. It's just a fucking rotary.
Yeah.
You know, it's cool.
Yeah.
I'm still Nick. It's okay.
Yeah. The new Bishop wand.
Exactly.
I want that shit.
Cool. Let's do it. Yeah.
I'm going to do it. But I would still feel. There's still times if I'm like working out of my own little, because like no one I work with day to day would give a shit about anything. We're all pretty open-minded about stuff.
Yeah.
But if I'm like working somewhere else, I would have to admit that I'd be like, maybe I'll leave the wand at home.
Totally.
But why? That's so fucking stupid.
Totally.
Because it's not like I'm presenting this thing like I'm some like super traditional core tattoo. Like there's nothing about me that someone would expect that I'm like, on the straight, narrow, traditional path.
I did the same thing before I came here. I was going to take the D20, put it in a little case, and I was like, I'm going to get shit. Put it down. Just
fuck
put
that.
Four
the
other D20, machines.
I do every tattoo with a D20.
See, you're a sellout.
That's cool. I'm tattooing faster than everyone else, and it's actually healing pretty good.
Exactly. Yeah. They're like, oh, you're using a rotary? I'm like, yeah, I'm going to wreck this guy's chest with a rotary instead of a coil machine. Whatever. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
If it does the job, it does the job.
I think a turning point also was when Kings Ave started putting out all their cool little, like, well-produced video clips on their Instagram and stuff. Like, whenever it happened where they're like, we're hiring a fucking video guy.
Yeah, totally.
And it's nice. It's cool to see that stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm, like, watching the videos, and they'll show, like, all the people working, just a little clip of them, and you zoom in. They're all using rotaries.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, 100%.
And so how fucking stupid, but also funny, that I see that, I'm like, cool, rotaries are allowed now.
Yeah.
It's so lame. I hate feeling like that. And I think that's why I'm so drawn to like trying to figure out why do I feel like I can't do a certain thing because some unwritten rule
is
holding me down.
It's strange.
It's like the fear of judgment.
Yeah. It's like, you know, carpenters use certain hammers for certain jobs. Finished carpentry, rough carpentry. What's the difference?
And they're not all using old splintery gnarly hammers that their grandfather used. They're going to get the shiny ass new like airplane steel hammers.
Right.
Because that's efficient and that's better. It's more monetarily practical.
Right.
It's just better.
Yeah. They don't have the straight handle. Everything's ergonomic. I mean, all that stuff. And I don't know why. I really don't, unless it's just so rooted in infantile bullshit, you know?
And it's not even that these wands or rotaries are necessarily better than coils or than anything else. We all work differently. Our hands are different.
Yes.
Our arms are different. I'm left-handed. I tattoo like a claw.
We were just talking about that the other day.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so weird.
So what I need is different than, and my money bumps on my ring finger. It's not on my middle finger.
How weird.
It's because I'm holding it like a fucking animal.
Right.
But not even an animal wouldn't even do this.
Right.
Like a mythical creature, I hold the tattoo machine. And so I will need something different than you will.
Yes.
It's just what it is.
Right.
I use huge red rat grips because my fingers wrap around it so many times. If I use a little tube, I can't do it.
Right.
Because
I'm
fisting the fucking thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So why is it any different where maybe it's better for my hand to have less weight or a different weight distribution of a machine?
Sure.
Why can't I grab that dildo machine? And let her rip.
Let's go. They're downstairs, I think.
Fuck.
I mean, it's even, you know, a lot of people are like, well, it's a tradition. You know, people use that a lot.
I'm 30 years old. Like, I missed everything cool about tattooing anyway. So like, why pretend?
I just caught the tail end, so whatever.
Yeah.
But I do like there's something like you could see this guy was using that coil machine and now I'm using this coil machine or whatever.
Yeah.
That's cool. But like, and you know, a lot of people do, oh, you put white, you do traditional tattoos, you do white. Hey, guess what, man? If they had white back then in the 20s, they would have been using fucking white.
Right.
If they had something, that was the best technology they had at the time. Yeah. And that's it. Right. Like acetate stencils were the best thing they had at the time. And when There wasn't ass. They didn't need ass anymore. They went to what we do now. I mean, it's like, whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
So you're here to say, fuck all tattooers.
Fuck. Yeah. Fuck them. I'm here to fuck you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come see my wand. I'll be out in the streets with it. I'll be
tattooed on Grand Avenue with a wand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With totally. Some wireless battery pack that I buy from China.
Totally.
I'll be getting shocked all the time.
I did switch to a battery, though, which is pretty cool.
Like for your power supply?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't done that in a while. I went back to it. It's great. Yeah.
I mean, some older versions of things are better, but it's a different thing.
I did it because of the circus travel cases that they used to. Oh, God.
I also, I ride a horse to work every day.
Totally.
I ride one of those bikes with the huge wheel in the front. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I put out something like either... If you don't get dropped from a spaceship or you're not, if you don't jump out of a vaudeville box, you're not really a tattooer anymore.
Right.
It's like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
It's like, oh man, I'm going to wear spats and look all, they wore those because that's all they had to wear.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? You know?
I wanted to make a video where I used no modern convenience in tattooing from every step of the way.
Nice.
But I don't even know how deep I could go to it. Like, can I even use a pencil? Like, how far back am I going?
Right, exactly.
But I think it would be funny because people that might complain about a wand machine or about whatever new thing that comes out, they're taking a picture with their iPhone.
Absolutely.
They're on Instagram to market themselves, yes. And they're boosting their post with their credit card.
Exactly.
And just everything.
At the end
and
of the day.
There's a big screen TV in the waiting room of their shop.
Right. At the end of the day, all you want to do is good tattoos.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tattooing still amazes me.
Yeah.
You know, I don't, that's it. It's still fucking cool. 25 years, it's still awesome.
And it's cool to try new things because it's a monotonous, repetitive thing.
Yeah.
So even if it's just a vacation from your everyday thing, try some new shit.
Yeah.
It's fun.
I like trying it and then like jumping all the way in because the guys at the shop are like, oh, you're really going for it. I was like, oh yeah, absolutely. 100%. And they're like, okay. Like, I wonder if that's going to wear off or not. And then one day I just stop using it. Oh, okay. Cool. Back to normal. You know, but why not give it a shot?
Yeah. Yeah. And if you like what you used to use better, then stick with it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But I'll be jacking off that new tat dad I'm getting.
Totally.
I can't wait. Oh, I don't even know what color I'm going to get. Oh, so many options. Should I go crazy and get magenta?
It is weird. I don't even know. I don't even know anything. I don't know anything about those.
Yeah.
Old tattoo stuff is a whole another ball game. Like people are looking to retire off bullshit, you know? So, you know, they always talk about like, oh yeah, there are these certain amount of tattooers and they're only these guys and blah, blah, blah. They're fucking tattooing everywhere. Mm-hmm. Every motherfucker. They're talking about tattoo supply companies and like, oh, you got to have these ethics. Like all the old timers fucking, they were selling out of Popular Mechanics and Billboard magazine. They were selling kids. Jones used to make machines faster than he could sell them. It's fucking bullshit. It's bullshit. And
well,
everyone
we select,
wants to retire.
Yeah. Yeah. We're selective of our ethics.
Yeah, exactly. Huck Spalding, total jag off.
Yeah.
Zeiss, oh, good guy. Like, shut the fuck up. Shut up. It's so stupid.
Yeah. And like being critical of people that do stuff outside of tattooing or people like, you know, with side hustles, other things, and they're sellouts and they, you know, they do the wrong thing. But it's like, you look back and those old tattooers we love so much and we've got the photos of their storefronts on our walls. They're fucking barbers and sign painters and they're nailing horseshoes to your horse's feet.
Yeah.
Like, you
and
do everything
just,
you can.
Yeah, exactly. You're just making money.
Yeah.
Someone's like, oh, how do you think Tats Thomas was? I was like, first of all, I have fucking no idea, but I'm hoping he's just hustling, scamming motherfuckers like everybody else was. Like, what do you think? I don't know. I have no idea. No idea. They're all dead. You can make up whatever stories you want. Everyone's dead.
Right. Well, I wear the same cologne as him because I know that it was like his essence. So I went at the same essence.
That is disgusting.
Right.
But yeah, it's like, I don't know, man.
At a certain point, you got to give it up.
Yes.
You can love history and you can love the past.
Yeah, but you don't have to justify it.
You don't have to live it.
Yes.
It's not now.
Right. Yeah. It isn't. It's not now.
You're researching him on the internet.
Right.
Like, it's over. That part is over. You can love it the same way that you love an old baseball team. The 1948 Yankees. Love them. They're great. Yeah. But it's not that way anymore.
No. No, not. And the glory that you think they had, they were just a bunch of drunks anyway.
Totally.
Fucking just wasted.
Yeah.
They're baseball or whatever. Same thing with the tattooers. Like, oh, he was a great guy. No, probably not. I mean, he might have been. He could have been a fantastic guy. Most likely, probably not.
Oh, yeah. I feel like most thing I learn about, like, the great classic tattooers, it doesn't make me like them more, necessarily.
No.
Like, once you've seen all their flash that's out there, and you love it, and, you know, we all trace it and fuck it up. But the more you learn about them as people, totally, it's like, you almost don't want to know because it's not a good thing. And you can see how the roots of tattooing haven't been great. And that's why we're like trying to climb out of a hole collectively, or at least some of us are trying to climb out of the hole and like help.
Yeah.
Fix
I mean,
it.
It's like whatever they did had lasting damage.
Yeah.
To tattooing.
It set a precedent.
Like, yeah. From like the, you know, tattooing royalty to like just a bunch of fucking scumbags stabbing each other in the back and like, you know, tattooing drunks for fun, you know, like crazy shit like that. Like, I remember years ago there was like tattooers who were like bum fights, like they're in like the video. I'm like, you guys are a bunch of fucking jagoffs. Like, what are you doing? You're just a scum. You're scumbags. Like, you know, don't treat people like that.
Right. But again, I think that's people living up to the persona.
Yes.
That they think like this is what a tattooer should be, and I feel that way at conventions so much. Like, we're at Pagoda City Convention right now, and I don't feel that way here because this is like a pretty selected group of like good, respectable tattooers.
Right.
But if you go to like a general convention, I feel so not part of it. I feel like I don't belong at a tattoo convention.
Yes.
Because people are like peacocking so much to like be that tattooer, whether it's their appearance. And yes, that's my judgmental gaze of someone's appearance.
Yeah, I could, yeah.
But the way they act, they're loud, they're, you know, the way they treat people, the way they talk to people.
I think this kind of, this small kind of convention and like the selected people that you think of, we are like tiny, not like, and then I'm saying we're better than or whatever. It is a tiny percentage of overall tattooing.
Yeah.
And I think we forget that at times.
Totally.
Like, there's a ton of dirtbag tattooers. Just like there's a ton of dirtbag cops and dirtbag, I mean, whatever.
Of course.
It's like, you know, we get lost in the we're keeping it together. Like we're really not. You know, there's a ton of them.
Mm-hmm.
This is a small, I mean, I was tattooing people who are like heavily tattooed. They're like, oh, I didn't even know this convention was going on. I'm like, oh, because you're tuned into something else.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's how all these like crazy, like outer thought, you know, political views and stuff are like gaining traction now. It's a similar kind of thing where there's there's a venue for everything and it can get super dangerous. Not to like compare fucking tattoo bullshit to, you know, the real world and real issues.
Right.
But.
And then that's what it is. It's like, this is, I mean, and then of that small percentage in tattooing itself is like, people could give a fuck. They could give a fuck about tattooing. You know? What are you gonna do?
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like the clarity that I'm like coming into, it feels very freeing, and I feel a lot more calm and accepting of just everything because I'm kind of seeing how things actually are outside of this little world that I've have had my head in the dirt.
Right.
In.
Yeah.
And it feels good.
I think, I mean,
and I like finding people like you and like everyone on the show for the most part is like people that could be easily like stuck to these things, but it's nice to see people that I look up to that have the open-minded view on things that I strive for myself.
I mean, that's it. It's like, it's a struggle every day. To try and just be like, okay, like I probably don't know the best way. I'll listen to this. And sometimes I get in a funk where it's not, that's not the case. I don't want to hear fucking anything. But, you know, you come back to it. And I think a lot of it is like, I have kids now. I'm trying to set better examples for them. You know, just like being inclusive to like, other tattooers, all this other thing. Like, I can't be a total dick and then be able to tell my son, like, don't be a dick. It doesn't work. You know, I'm trying to raise good humans.
Yeah, and that's a whole other thing. Trying to lead by example has got to be
a
never-ending pressure.
It is. It's hard. I don't know. See how it goes.
Yeah. How old are your kids?
11. Well, my daughter will be 11 this month and my son's 8.
So they're like real people now,
they're
too. That's
totally
crazy.
Real people, and they have opinions and things. They have all sorts of things. My daughter's way into Bowie now. She's like headphones all the time. I'm like, listen to Bowie and like rolling her eyes and all kinds of things. And the same thing, like my son is way, he's like way into video games. And I'm just like, hey man. Or he's even into like watching video games.
That's I'm the like, thing.
What are you, why are you watching somebody? He's like, you watch guys play baseball. And I was like, shit.
That's true.
You're right. I'm like, all right, well, a half hour, you're done.
Carry on.
Yeah. What are you, like, you're 8 early, trump me. Cool. All right. I'll see you later. Want mac and cheese for lunch? I don't know. Fucking, I can get out of here. Get out of your way. You know, it's so true. It's like,
yeah,
it's a juggle. It's pretty, it's interesting.
Yeah. Well, it's funny when you're young, you think, I'm never going to be that old guy who is like out of touch. I'm always going to know like what current stuff is and current music. Like it's not that hard to keep up on it, but it's so easy to lose sight of like what's happening.
Yes. It's weird when you walk in your house, you're like, what are these guys doing?
It's like, you don't know who's on the radio.
No.
You watch
no.
like the Grammys come on. It's the top artists in popular music. You don't know a single kid who's performing.
Yeah, no.
And I'm not that old. So for me to feel that way, I can only imagine someone 10 years, 20 years older than me.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's weird. So yeah, it's like trying to keep that balance of being a good example of them and like trying to raise good people. While still holding true to the whip shade, you know what I mean? It's kind of rough. It's rough. Oh, God.
Well, that'll do it. A big thank you to Nick Colella for being on the show this week. And all of his info can be found in the show notes. And go get tattooed by him in Chicago at Great Lakes Tattoo. And let's not forget to one more time thank our fantastic sponsors this week, Eternal Ink and Tattoo Smart. As always, I'm Andrew Storz, and you can find me on Instagram at Andrew Storz, Storz. And if you want to keep up with the show, head over to booksclosepodcast.com, where you can find information about every single episode that has ever been, along with videos and info about all the guests, and get some merch, get a t-shirt, get a pin, show your support for this show. Because if you don't, well, I don't know. Nothing will happen. But if you do, thank you. And if you are compelled, you can leave a 5-star rating and perhaps a nice review on iTunes. Coming up next week, I've got a great episode for you that I am very excited about. So look out for that. And thank you for listening. It's nice to see your beautiful shining faces back after our short winter break. And I will see you on the next episode.